name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. Around the year 1000 BC, God's people had requested a king. God had warned them that this wouldn't be a good idea. David and Solomon, however, had built this kingdom together, conquered lands around them, built up great buildings and palaces and temple, and the people thought things were going great. But then we heard after Solomon had died, the kingdom split in two because the northern 10 tribes were angry at the way that Solomon and David had been oppressing them, forcing them into hard labor. With these two kingdoms split, we heard the story of that northern kingdom. It lasted only about 200 years to 722 BC, when, remember, the Assyrian Empire stepped in and destroyed the northern kingdom. Samaria, the capital, was laid waste. Its cities were destroyed. The people were hauled off to Assyria to be slaves in a foreign land. This had happened because the northern kings were playing political games, trying to pay off Assyria while also conspiring with Egypt to try to build an alliance to keep themselves safe in the middle. During this time, the southern kingdom had a king named Hezekiah. 8 years after the destruction of the northern kingdom, Hezekiah is also attacked by Assyria. Hezekiah's king in the south had also, we are told, been playing these similar political games. He was trusting in Egypt. Assyria was rearing down upon them, having destroyed the northern kingdom, heading down towards them, and they continued to look to Egypt in the south. Maybe Egypt can protect us. The Assyrian Empire comes into the southern kingdom, having destroyed the north already, and destroys, we are told, every walled city in the south, except for Jerusalem. And as Assyria prepares to destroy Jerusalem, Hezekiah empties the temple of the Lord and pays off the Assyrian emperor, giving him all the wealth of God's temple, saying, "Do not destroy us, have it all." So the temple of the Lord was plundered as Hezekiah gave it over to the Assyrians. But this prevented the Assyrians from destroying Jerusalem, and Jerusalem lived on. During this time, as Hezekiah and the southern kingdom are scrambling to kind of get their bearings after having all their cities destroyed but Jerusalem, we have a prophet named Isaiah who's speaking to them, begging with the people, begging with Hezekiah, to trust the Lord, to drop all his political alliances with the Assyrians, don't pay them off, don't work with the Egyptians, just do your thing, live as I have told you to live, let them haul you off even, the Lord will protect you if you would simply rely on him. Hezekiah, seeing this as irresponsible and impractical, will not listen. Isaiah continues to preach and tells him even, there's a bigger empire than Assyria that's looming. Babylon is gaining strength. Babylon will be the downfall of your people if you do not listen. But this will happen after you are dead. Hezekiah realizing, oh, I'll be dead at that point. Doesn't really matter. Hezekiah goes on living, thinking, well, at least it's not going to happen in my lifetime. After Hezekiah passes, we have two other kings, Manasseh and Amon, two particularly wicked kings who led God's people away from the Lord, continued to play the political games. Following the death of these two kings, finally, there is a breath of fresh air amongst these kings of God's people. An 8-year-old boy is crowned king by the name of Josiah. This 8-year-old boy is the one, we are told in the text, who was better than any other king, the only king of all God's people, including David, who actually turned the people to the Lord. For remember, the temple had been emptied during Hezekiah's reign, and Josiah went back into the temple to look around to see what was in this empty place. Tucked away in some corner, Josiah found the Torah, the word of the Lord. Josiah, overwhelmed by this lost law of the Lord, turned the people back to the Lord and encouraged them to follow him, to obey this law. And so they began to celebrate the Passover and to do the festivals and to live the life that God's people were supposed to. Josiah, this little boy, was the one who recognized that God should be king, not some human. But Josiah was killed by the Egyptian pharaoh. After his death, Jehoaz became king, and he was captured by the Egyptian pharaoh. His reign was short, and a man named Jehoiakim replaced him. Realizing that this Egyptian empire is now a problem in the south as well, Jehoiakim pays off Egypt to the south, pays them off so that they will not destroy God's people. But as the squeeze from the south is coming upon Jehoiakim, the squeeze from the north continues to come. The wall of the Babylonian Empire that Isaiah had foretold was looming upon God's people. Jehoiakim, seeing the threat from the north as well, gives himself and God's people into the hands of Babylon and says, "We will be your servant. We live under your rule. We do whatever you say. Just don't destroy us." But after Jehoiakim gave himself to the Babylonian Empire, he continued to conspire, we are told, trying to figure out how to get the Babylonian Empire off their back. Nebuchadnezzar hears of this, and he moves against Jerusalem, angered. The temple of the Lord is plundered once again, emptied after Josiah and the kings after had tried to fill it again. All of its wealth was taken. Even some of the people were captured. And then Nebuchadnezzar replaced Jehoiakim with a new king, Zedekiah. Zedekiah was king there in the south during this time of turmoil. We heard from Pastor Mike last week of the time where they decided to release all their slaves, kind of as a last gasp effort to maybe obey the Lord, to see if the Lord was real enough to come through for them. But when they released their slaves, they quickly realized, that's not doing us really any good. We might as well take them back. So Zedekiah only reigned for 7 years before Babylon continued its squeeze upon God's people. Babylon, 7 years after Zedekiah was king, surrounded Jerusalem and sieged it. As we heard in our text for today, the terror within the city was horrifying. The people were starving for 2 years as no food or water were allowed in. People were killing each other, dying of disease, even eating each other. And after this 2 year siege, the destruction of Jerusalem was final. The walls were completely destroyed. The temple was burned to the ground. The city was laid completely waste. There would be no more king among God's people. The rulers were hauled off to Babylon into exile. The people had had such big dreams for this kingship, but it lasted a little over 400 years, and it ended in complete destruction. Why had God allowed his people to be destroyed and manhandled in such a destructive way? As we had heard last week, during Zedekiah's last years, the people had tried to turn back to the Lord's word, but they wouldn't persist in it. They took their slaves again. This was part of the problem. If you go back to Moses' words in Leviticus, we find out that when the Lord had established the Sabbath laws, the laws that Every 7 years, all debts would be forgiven. Every 7 years, all slaves would be released. Every 49 years, all the land would be redistributed. The Lord had said at the end of those commands, if you do not obey these commands, you will be hauled off into exile. I will let you be ripped off the land. Why? Because you did not take care of the land. You did not take care of the poor, the animals, the servants among you. You will be ripped off the land so that the land can maybe have its rest when you're gone. And I think bigger than this, there's a sense throughout the scriptures that the Lord wants his people in exile. If you go back to their original slavery in Egypt, remember that they had been settled and comfortable in Egypt even as they were slaves. And the Lord had taken them out of there into the wilderness, where in a sense they wandered in exile for 40 years. It was there that they actually learned how to rely on the Lord one day at a time. But then remember, they had gone into the promised land and lived under Joshua's rule and the judges' rules, and quickly they became settled and comfortable. And when they were settled and comfortable, what did they do? They became like the world around them. This settling and comfortability grew to a grander scale when the people got a king. They thought they were established in this land. They thought they ruled the land. They thought they were in control. They had a dynasty of their own. They were settled and comfortable. And who was forgotten in that comfort? The Lord. Because their comfort and their settlement had led them away from the Lord time and time again, the Lord graciously pulls them out of their comfort so that they would be in exile again. And it is there in exile, while they are in Babylon in a foreign land for 50 years, they will again discover the word of the Lord. His prophets will speak to them again in a way that they listen. It is in their discomfort, as their worlds are overturned and disrupted, that the word of the Lord has a chance to speak to them. And we'll see that when they come back from Babylon to the land that God had promised them, they quickly become comfortable and settled again. And in that comfort, they turn away from the Lord again. They rebuild the walls. They rebuild the temple. They try to find a king again. They hadn't learned their lesson. Are we a settled and comfortable people? Are we a people that have been comfortable in the power, the wealth, the routines that we have built for ourselves? Are we the kind of people who have let that comfort deafen us to the begging of the Lord's prophets, that we would listen and obey his word and not get caught up in the games around us? Or are we a people in exile who have been unsettled, not feeling at home in any real place, not really being comfortable because we realize that things in the world aren't right? There's injustice and death and brokenness at every turn. There's oppression, the abuse, the use of power, the grabbing for more, the greed, the selfishness. As Jesus came into the world was a man who was deeply unsettled and uncomfortable with what was taking place in his world. Jesus never settled down in one place to just embrace life and all the goodness of it. He was a wandering man. Always, never at ease. Because he recognized that there was death and suffering and oppression around every corner. And he was begging people to see the brokenness of the world and to turn back to the Lord. He didn't give in to the brokenness around him and just say, that's just life. Jesus calls us to be an uncomfortable people, an unsettled people, not content with all the suffering, the injustice, the oppression around us, a people recognizing we're not at home in these structures and within our world. And so the Lord invites us to be a people in exile, a people who recognize that it is the Lord who is going to rescue us, the Lord who is going to build a world that is better. And we are called to be a witness to that better world, not content to give in to the darkness around us. So may we this day be unsettled. May we be made uncomfortable by the word of Jesus, as he invites us out of that comfort, out of that settlement, so that we may wander with him, listening to the word of the Lord as he speaks through his prophets, calling us to be a different kind of people, a people who dream for a better world and aren't willing to settle for anything less than that.